pray for me, brother.
Bless you.
Sweet prayer.
Thank the Lord for it. Ask each of you just to pray where you're seated. Just continue to pray. We're told to ask and to seek and to knock. And when we ask, our prayers will be answered, not in accord to our will, but according to His will. And when we seek Him, we'll find Him. And when we knock, He'll open unto us. And so this afternoon, as we gather together here at Happy Creek Church one more time, just pray that the Lord would supply what we stand in need of. We don't have a clue of what we're going to face this week or what we may even face today. But isn't it good to know the Lord knows all things, and He knows exactly what you and I stand in need of hearing. And if we'll, as we talked about over at Union Church, if we'll just be still and wait for the Lord and lean upon Him and listen to Him, commit our way unto Him and trust in Him, cast all our cares upon Him, He will guide us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. And we don't have to question whether that's going to happen, because He said that's what He would do. And He's a covenant promise-keeping God that will do all that He said He would do. And He would not come short in it in one degree whatsoever. Bless your heart. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We'll begin right at the verse 31 and read down to the end of the chapter. And I surely need your prayers as I stand before you. Mark 7, beginning at verse 31. We'll read down through verse 37. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, He came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers into his ear, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, you read another account of this, not in the detail that we have in the Gospel of Mark, but it's always important when we read an account in the Gospels that we look at the other passages that might talk or speak about the same incident. And this is very apparent that this is one of them. We find in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 15, it says, And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. It's important that we know about that account, because we would not get a whole picture or a complete picture of this if we didn't understand that there wasn't just one person that came to the Lord, but there were many that had come even on this occasion. And yet Mark is impressed by the Holy Spirit to point out one of them. Even though there's a multitude of them, he points out one of them. This is not just happenstance that Mark just said, well, I'm going to give this account, and Matthew said he was going to give that account. We don't believe that the Bible was written that way. We don't believe that the Lord left it in the hands of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or the Apostle Paul or Peter or James or any of the writers of Scripture just to write down anything that they wanted to, just to write their ideas or their thoughts or how they felt about things. It is true that he used their personalities and that he used their abilities. He's the one who gave them their abilities. Whatever abilities we have, we know where it comes from. We didn't develop those or get those on our own. We may take that which the Lord gives us and use it, and the Lord adds to it. But if we have anything that's worthwhile or good, whatever talent that is, for whatever we do, we're to give the Lord the glory for that. Whatever knowledge, whatever ability. And it's just like sometimes we see someone and say, well, they were just cut out to be this, or they were cut out to be that. He was born to be a mechanic, or he was born to be a school teacher, or he was born to be a farmer, or whatever. He was born to be a carpenter. He was born to be a jack of all trades, whatever it might be. What we have to recognize is that anything that's beneficial to us, anything that's good, anything that's worthwhile, every good thing, everything that's right and the way it ought to be, didn't just happen to be because we happen to have everything just right. Everything that's good that's in this world, all those things came to us from the giver of every good and perfect gift. That's the Lord. I believe he teaches that here in this lesson as well. But he also shows us that not only does the Lord deal with his children as a group, but he deals with them individually. He deals with them sometimes at the same time, just that way. I found that in meetings, haven't you? Where you've been at a meeting and the preaching was going on and you saw the whole group just seem like they were rejoicing, seemed like they were lifted up. And sometimes you can sit there and see everybody else seemingly getting it and enjoying it, and you don't seem to be getting it. You don't seem to be enjoying it. I think the hymn writer had somewhat of that in mind when she wrote, while on others thou art calling, O Lord, do not pass me by. Because it is a very personal thing when the Lord allows you to have that blessing, when the Lord allows you to hear that message, when the Lord allows you to enjoy that song, when the Lord works with you individually. He works with maybe the whole assembly collectively, but when the Lord gives it to you, that's a very personal thing. Sometimes to the point, it gets to be feeling like I'm the only one here. That I'm all except the Lord. It's me and the Lord. And I'm the only one here. And he can do that. And then also bring you around to where you see that, no, you're not the only one here, but I've got brothers and sisters. I've got ones that he's also dealing with. And we get to go home and tell our friends. Go tell your friends how great things the Lord hath done for you, for thee. Now, the ye's and the thee's of the Bible. When you read a ye, you're talking about more than one. When you read a thee, you're talking about one. And the Lord deals with them in multitudes, and then he deals with them individually. It says in Matthew, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame. You know, Jesus knew every one of them. There wasn't just one that was lame. There were those that were lame. And there were great multitudes that brought those. So you got a lot of people involved here. You got a crowd involved. There are some people who believe in Jesus so much, they go grab their friends and say, come, I got somebody who can help you. You ever want to just tell somebody that there's someone who can help them? You'll see someone in trouble. You'll see one going through a real bad life experience, you see one who's lost a loved one, or one who's got their heart broken, or one who's gone through some difficult time, and you just you just want to be able to share with them how good the Lord's been to you so that it might be some benefit to them. You know, we're helpless about doing that unless the Lord opens the door, unless the Lord opens the way, unless the Lord unstops the eye, unless the Lord gives them an ear, unless the Lord works on the heart. As much as we might want to share this wonderful truth, we can't give it. But we ought to be trying to. We ought to be sharing it. Even if they do not receive it and do not heed it and walk the other way, even if they get mad with you. I believe there's only one who can help man in this world, don't you? I don't believe there's anybody else that can help you. If you need a doctor, it's good to have a doctor on this earth, but it's better to have the great physician as your chief doctor, and he can give you good doctors to help you. But if you have all the doctors in the world and you don't know the great physician, you're going to be limited. Now listen, the Lord, what's important is not us getting to know Him. That's important. What's more important is that He knows you. And He does know. Isn't it good to know that He knows all of His children? The foundation of God, the Apostle Paul wrote, stand is sure. Having this seal, he put a seal on the foundation. Foundation of God's got to be solid, don't you think? Oh, I'm telling you, you can't get a more solid foundation than the foundation of God. The foundation of God, stand is sure, solid. Having this seal, and what is that seal? The Lord knoweth them that are His. That tells us that there are people that are His. The Bible tells us that He chose them even before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us that they are His elect people, that He loved them. He loved them with an eternal, everlasting, unconditional love, a love that has depth and breadth and height and width, a love that's unspeakable, a love that we can't, as much as we talk about it, the hymn writer said about it like the ocean, if the love of God, if the waters of the ocean were ink, and I can't get all of it, but it says, and a scribe would write about the love of God, there wouldn't be enough ink to describe the love of God. I'm not getting all of that, but it's a good hymn. Maybe somebody will find it and we can sing it. But I'm telling you, it's the love of God. It's the name of the hymn, the love of God. You read that verse. I'm telling you, God's love for me and God's love for you and God's love for the multitude on this occasion at this day was not only a group love that He had in general, but it was a specific love for every one of the lame. And He shows us that in Mark because He picks one of them out to tell us about it. I believe the experience of every one of them was just as personal as the one that He tells us about in Mark. But I believe He tells us about it in Mark so that we might know that it was just as personal. But I also believe that it was important for us to know that it wasn't just the one in Mark. But there was a whole lot of others that I didn't tell you all together about. But I dealt with them just as closely, just as personally, just as much love, just as much care, and just as perfectly. Jesus had just what they needed. And He supplied it to them individually with just the same kind of care. If you want to see what that is, we'll read about it in Mark. He says, great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame. There was some lame there. There was some blind there. You know, we've got a Savior who can help the lame. We have a Savior who can help the blind. He's a specialist. Would you say that? He's a specialist. If I've got a problem, I don't want to go just see a general practitioner. If I'm not sure what it is, I'll go see the general practitioner, and I want him to point out a good specialist so I can go see a specialist about whatever problem that it is. If you've got something wrong with your shoulder, you don't want to go see somebody who works on stomachs. You want a specialist. Isn't it good to know that Jesus doesn't need somebody to help him with whatever problem that you have, that He specializes in all your problems, in all your troubles, in all your needs? He's not one who says, well, I don't really deal in that area. I could help you if it was this, but because it's that, I'll have to send you somewhere else. You'd have to go look up another specialist. You know who the gods of this world are like? They're like doctors who don't know anything because they're not really there. They don't exist. And they can't help you. They get eyes because we put eyes on them, but they can't see a thing. I want you to know Jesus saw every one of them individually come to Him, even though a multitude was coming. You and I would have just seen a crowd. He saw His children. And when He looks down from heaven, He doesn't just look down on mankind in general and say, I hope one or two of them will do something to become one of mine. No, the foundation stands at this church. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows every one of them. He knows where they are. As a matter of fact, He's the one who puts in their heart the desire to come. Because man could pull them and drag them, and like the wild Gadarene and all his family tried to help him. No one could help him. They put chains on him to try to help him, but nothing could help him until the one that could help him came, and he was a specialist. I believe our Savior is a specialist. I believe he has just what I need. And I believe it enough to say I believe he has just what you need. He has what your family needs. If you're a husband, he has what your wife needs. If you're a mama, he has what your children needs. If you're a daddy, he has whatever. He took care of the lame and the blind and the dumb and the maimed. And get this, not only did he take care of that, but it says in many others. You know, that kind of says I could just keep going with this list. Couldn't we just keep going with the list of what Jesus does for us in our lives? If you have food on your table, it's Jesus who's provided the bread. It's Jesus who, if you have breath in your nostrils, it's Jesus who's given you the breath in your nostrils. If your heart's beating, it's Jesus who's given you the heart that beats. If you have a good companion, it's the Lord who's given you that good companion. If whatever it is and whatever blessing, this church would not be here if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I believe he put it here in this world, and he has maintained it, and he's kept it, and he's preserved it. And this house stands because it's built upon a rock. And it will be here as a witness, as a place where the truth is dispensed. It'll be here, either at this place or somewhere in this world. When I say here, it'll be on earth when the Lord comes again. And that could be any time. Our specialist is about to come any time. And we say about a day with him is what? Like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So the Lord is at a hand. He's at hand. And time's moving on, isn't it? Time's moving on. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed. Can you see him limping? Can you see him being led because they couldn't see? Could you see him being carried because they were lame and couldn't walk? Could you see him not being able to say a word, but desiring to be able to speak like everybody else, but they weren't able? Can you see God's little children limping today? I see them. I look out in this world and I see men trying to feed them with stuff that's not fit to eat, and they're hungering. And they're thirsting, and they're longing for some peace. They're troubled about their eternal welfare. They're troubled about their timely welfare. They're troubled about how they're going to get through today and tomorrow. They're troubled about many things. Sometimes I fall among them, and I'm thankful for the brother who comes and helps me, or the sister who gives me a call and gives me a word of encouragement. I'm telling you, God put us in this world to be a help to his little children who are stumbling and walking along in this world, and we can't open their eyes, we can't unstop their ears, we can't do what Jesus can do, but we ought to be telling them about the great physician who's a specialist, right? Yeah. I don't know your problems. He does. I can't fix your problems. He can. Not only can he, if you belong to him, he will. He will. He's not a weak God. He's not a feeble God. And I want to encourage each of us today to help one another look to Him with all that's in us, from the depth of our heart, with a whole heart, to serve Him, to praise Him, and to look to Him. It says, and many others, and get this, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet. Oh, what a place to come to. I believe that's where we are today. At least that's where we should be. We humble ourselves before the Lord. I heard a brother that used to pray all the time, and when he would pray, he said, Lord, keep me at thy feet. And he'd also said, "And brother, dear Lord, I know that I really can't be at thy feet unless I'm at my brother's feet. And so when we meet together here at one another, that's what foot washing is. We get down at one another's feet and we humble ourselves before one another. And when we do that, we humble ourselves before the Lord and we come to Him as our great physician. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow, but I know that thou would bless me. I don't know the answer to that headache, but I know He knows it. I don't know that. I don't know where to tell you to go to get this problem. I don't know how to fix little Rosalie and whatever's going on with her. But I know there's a God who knows that little girl and is able to take care of her. And when we turn to the Lord, His will, and lean on Him and be reconciled to His will, we can say this with confidence. Though we might not know how it's going to be, we know all is well. It is well with my soul, because Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. Isn't that good? Amen. That gives me comfort. I pray that it gives you comfort. It is well with my soul. It is well. Because He does all things well. And He says He cast them down at Jesus' feet and He, get this, and He healed them. Notice it didn't say He tried to heal them. Notice He didn't say if they had faith, He healed them. Notice it didn't say if they let Him, He healed them. Notice it doesn't say if they did this or if they did that. It says He healed them. You know why He healed them? Because He wanted to. Isn't it good to have a God who does what He wants to, and everything He wants to do is good and right. When He made this world, He made it just like He wanted to. Didn't He do a good job? Y'all believe He did a good job? Oh, you and I, looking at it today, see it through a sin-cursed eyes. And we see a world that's been cursed because sin entered into the picture. And it's still so beautiful. Even with those things involved, can you imagine what it was for Adam to see the world that he had made with an eye that wasn't full of sin? Can you imagine the answer to that is no, I cannot imagine. I can only imagine. And we'll never see it like it was here. But I believe one day we'll see something even brighter and even more glorious. We sang about that a little bit, and I like the way the writer wrote about that. He put it in kind of language that says, I don't know very many specifics, but I can give you some general things about this place. It's going to be wonderful there. Won't it be wonderful there? And it's going to be far better than here. You think this world is beautiful. I'm telling you, in heaven, it's going to be so wonderful and so glorious and so good. We're going to be something we've never been in this world. We're going to be satisfied. We'll be with Christ. We'll be like Him. What a glorious thing that will be. What a glorious day that will be. It says, insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak. You know when He said He healed them? Guess what happened? Those who could not speak began to speak. How did they do that? Did they go to school and get it all straightened out? No, He gave it to them. Those that could not speak, the dumb that could not speak began to speak. The maimed, they became whole, whatever was wrong with them. And it says, and the lame, yes, the lame is walking, and then the blind see. I'll tell you today, I believe we come together with those who see and those who hear and those who understand. And the Bible tells us over in the Corinthian letter that the eye had not seen nor the ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. And yet today we're talking about it. We're hearing it. We're seeing it. We're understanding it. I believe you believe. How could you see it? God gave you an eye. How could you hear it? God gave you an ear. How could you understand it? God gave you understanding.
But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how we can talk about glorious things. We sing that hymn, glorious things of Thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. There'd be men and women that would come in here and look at this little band of folks and say, what a pitiful little bunch gathering over here at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, football games going on, all kinds of activities that you could be involved in, all kinds of things you could be doing. Most stores are still open on Sunday. You could be over here, you could be over there, and yet by the grace of God, we're not only here because somebody put us in here and locked the doors. We're here by choice because we desire to come and talk about glorious things of Thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. We believe this is the Lord's church. This is where we sit at the feet of Jesus. This is where we come to our great physician. This is where we get instruction for the week. This is where we get encouragement for discouragement. This is where we get healing for a broken heart. This is where we get comfort and peace and rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And not I maybe do something. He says, I will give you rest. Have you found rest? Oh, it doesn't take away every problem, but I'll tell you, it sure gives you some ointment for it. It sure gives you some help for it. And I'll tell you, what He gives us and what He supplies to us is just what we need. This dear little brother, we tell about the one over in Mark. It says, and again, beginning at verse 32 of Mark 8, he says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf. Now, there are many of them. We're just getting one account. That's why John tells us, if all that could have been written, would have been written, the world wouldn't have contained the books. I'm telling you, Jesus worked every day to fulfill the will of the Father. He was about doing good for His children every day that He lived. And we have just glimpses in the Scripture of the things that He did. And yet we have, in the way that it's written, we can see the beauty and all the other things that He did because He wasn't, you could take this account and multiply it by a multitude. I don't know how many. But they were all types. But He tells us about one. Does that sound like a God who works with the crowd? And yet a God who works individually. Isn't He doing that right now today? I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know He does. He wrote His word to fit whatever it is, because it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. He knew exactly what you were going to need when He wrote this book so many years ago, and yet we're living in this day and time, and this book fits just as good. Have you found this book fits? Not, I said just as good. It's better. It is our guide. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is where we're to go. We're to preach the word because God's little children need to hear the word. And the Lord works with us as a group, but He also works with us individually. How many times in the same sermon does the Lord encourage one brother, chasten another brother, help another little sister, supply an answer? The preacher's up here in the pulpit begging the Lord to bless him. Sometimes he feels like he's failing and not getting anyone anything, and God is just feeding His children all along, using a man that really doesn't know that much about what he's doing, which really works in a sense to give God the glory and the honor and the praise. And I mean, and it's not about giving man any of the glory. That's a glorious thing. That's the working of the Lord in His church. That's how the Lord feeds His little lambs and feeds His sheep. That's why He tells shepherds to be faithful and preach the word and scatter the seed. And it's not my responsibility or any shepherd's responsibility to make anything grow. He does that. Like a farmer, you cast the seed out, but it has to land on good ground. And that ground is prepared of the Lord. And when it lands on good ground, it brings forth fruit. Not all fruit the same way. Some get 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But every bit of the fruit is good fruit. All of it is to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. It says, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Isn't it funny how man always wants to tell Jesus how to do his work? Sometimes we do that in our prayers, I think. Say, Lord, I've got a problem here, and this is kind of the way I think it ought to be solved. This is kind of what I think it might need to be done. And Jesus so patiently listens to us, like a father would listen to a child who lacks knowledge and is asking many times for things to be done the wrong way. You know who knows the right way? He knows the right way. And you know who's patient and loving even when his children ask for the wrong thing? He is. And you know who's with us also in the person of the Holy Spirit to help us so that we don't do that as much and we don't do it at all if we follow the Spirit of the Lord? Is the Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray so that if we look to Him, He'll help us to know what to pray for and how to pray. And when we get it wrong, He still intervenes for us. He's seated. Jesus, the Son of God, is seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And He hears those prayers and He answers them in accord to His will and to the benefit of His children. Sounds like we're in a pretty good spot. And I have no reason to fear. It says, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. The Lord can do that right in the church meeting. He can take you right aside. There have been times I've been in a meeting and he took me aside because I, you know, the same way you take a little child that's messing up, you take them aside. I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. I take them aside. Take them away. But really, the way He deals with us in this world, isn't it? He takes us aside. He says, come out of this world. Be separate. He calls you out of the world and the walking of the world and the walking of the crowd. He'll call you out of the crowd. He works. Who does He do that for? It was a multitude here, but I believe He did it for every one of these. I believe He did it for every one of them. It says, and He took him aside from the multitude, and then He put His fingers in His ears. I love to think about His fingers. Over in Psalm 8, that verse that you've heard many times, I was reading that, if I can find it, I believe it was Psalm 8. I may not find, oh yeah, here it is, verse 3, Psalm 8. He said, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. Now somebody said, well, that's God the Father's fingers, isn't it? Well, the Bible says that He spoke this world into existence. In the book of the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Who's that Him? He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then He tells us a little later on how that the Word was made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm telling you, that's the living Word. Just think for a minute. Yes, it was the Son of Man that put fingers in this man's ear, but He wasn't just the Son of Man, was He? He was also the Son of God. This same one who put the fingers in His ear and touched his ears with His fingers were the same fingers that put the stars in the sky. As He tells us over in Psalms 8, it says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Do you ever just stand in awe of the fact that God, out of all of mankind, out of all of the family of man, would deal with us in such a particular way as He's dealt with us? That just as He had taken this man and pulled him aside and touched the hands that made the stars, the fingers that made the stars, touch His ears. I'm telling you, if you're alive today spiritually, that God touched you. The one who created the heavens and the earth made you a new creature. The creation that He made in the beginning of time that you and I stand in awe of is not any more or less important than the new creation that He did in you when He made you you were dead in trespasses and in sins, and He gave you life in Christ, and that life that He gave is a work of His creation. It's the work of His fingers. It's the work of His voice. It's the power of God, and that's what's being pictured here. This man was healed by the power of God, and if you and I have been touched, we've been touched by the power of God. The same one who put those stars in the sky. And I don't know whether science has that all right or not, but they tell me that those stars, that our sun is just one of those stars, and that our sun is just a medium-sized one of those compared to the other stars that are out there. There are some that are a whole lot bigger than our sun. And how many are out there? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. God knows every one of them, and He's named them. And that same God is the one who touched this man's ears, and also the same God who touched you if you know the Lord. If you love Him today, it's because He first loved you. If you believe in Him, it's because He gave you faith to believe. If you love Him, it's because He loved you first. He's the one who worked in our lives. That's a big God. He worked in us as a group, but He also worked in us particularly. And each and every one of you. And He put His fingers into His ear. And I love this. And He spit. The power of the spit of the Lord. There's one place He took spit, made clay, and rubbed eyes. Remember? And told Him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when He came back seeing. That's power in that, isn't it? Oh, this doctor works on his own. He works His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" And He doesn't do it by my plan or your plan or anybody else's plan. Our God is in the heavens, and He has done whatsoever He has pleased. That sounds like a powerful God and a sovereign God and a God so full of knowledge beyond what you and I can understand. No one would have told Him, "You go ahead and spit on His tongue and that'll fix." You just touch Him, Lord. That'll be all that He needs. Oh no, the Lord did it just the right way. You know how I know that? Because everything He did was just the right way. I don't even have to understand that. I just have to tell it and say it over and over again. He spit and touched His tongue. Now whether He spit on His tongue or spit in His hand or whatever He did, we got it right here in Scripture. And then get this. And looking up to heaven. Now Jesus had the power as the Son of God to do all of that without looking up to heaven. But remember, He wasn't just the Son of God. He was also verily the Son of Man. He was our great example. He was to show us how a perfect man is to act and walk and to live. He was to show us how we were to look and what we were to do. He didn't look up to the Father because He did not have power, because He was equal in power with the Father. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said, "When I speak to you, Lord, it's not because I need to speak out loud for you to hear me. For thou hearest me always," remember? "Thou always hears me." But He said it so the people might know. He told us where we're to look. We look up to the hills from whence cometh our strength. That's not talking to looking up to the skyline drive. That's talking about looking to where our Father is and where His Son is seated on the right hand of the Father. And He said He looked up to heaven because all good things come down from heaven. Over in the book of James chapter 1, that verse that I've misquoted a couple times, I'll read it in your hearing. Verse chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." That's why He looked up to heaven.
Yeah.
"And cometh down from the Father of lights." Isn't it good? "With whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning." Well, that'll knock all Arminian doctrine out right there, that one statement, won't it? To have a God who loves people and then will not then turn from that love and start doing something else because they won't do this or they won't do that and end up casting a people that He supposedly loved into eternal woe. That sounds like a God who has lots of variableness and much turning. Our God has no variableness. He does not change. He changes not. And I'm telling you, whom He loves today, He's always loved and He will forever love. And not one of them will be separated from Him, no matter what they do or how they act or how they behave. He will love them enough to chasten them and correct them as they disobey. But He will not deny Himself. He will have every one of them with Him. Y'all believe that? Well, you know, if you believe that, that's an evidence that the finger and the hand of God has been active in your life. The same God who made the heavens and the earth. Do we have something to be thankful for today? Do we have something to glorify God over today? He says, and he looked up to heaven and he sighed. That's not just Mark saying, well, I think I'll just tell y'all a little story here. It's moved by the inspiration of God. He sighed. I believe he felt it. I believe he said, this is my child. I was holding a little Piper Jane in my arms this week, and I just reached down around her, and I couldn't help but a tear fall out of my eyes. I held on to her. I just kind of thought, oh, I couldn't love anything any more than this. And I thought about God and his love for each one of his children. My love was nothing like his love for me. But it's about as close as I could get it right now. Hugged my little Gracie Lynn today, felt the same way as I hugged that girl who's growing into a young woman faster than I wanted to. I can't explain that. I don't know all about that. But I know God knows his love for each one of his children. What would he do to protect them? What would he do to help them? What would he do for them? That's how God loves his children. He has no changing to him. And I believe he loved this man just like that. I believe he was one of his children, don't you? And not only did he love him, he loved the whole multitude of them. Oh, what a God. Somebody said, well, that'd take a big God to do that. I have love for my little one. I don't know how much I'd have to be able to give to. I couldn't have a multitude of them. I couldn't stand it. I'm telling you what, God has a multitude. And every one of them, he'll come and like a little lamb, a little sheep, he'll pick them up and he'll put them on his shoulder and he'll carry them, and eventually he's going to carry them home. They are his. They belong to him. He will not have anything separate them from him. His love for them has been eternal, and it will continue to be. Eternal means forever. I can't understand that, but I sure can preach it because it's here in his word. And he sighed. Can you hear him? He didn't sigh because I can't help him. He sighed because he loved him. He sighed because he had compassion on him. And he saith unto him, and I know I mispronounced that. The accent's supposed to be on the first of that. Y'all sound it out and do the best you can with it. I missed it the first time. I put the accent in the middle. That's okay. I'm not even going to try it again. It's right there. Ephphatha. Didn't get it right either. That is, be open. He spoke. You know what voice spoke? The voice at the beginning of time that said, let there be light. And the lights came on. Before the sun, before the moon. Read Genesis 1. All you have to do is read it and you'll know the light was there before the sun ever got there. And before the moon was ever there. The light was turned on. He said, God said, let there be light. Get this. And there was light. God said, I love reading Genesis 1 and look for God said and God saw. God said it, and then God saw what he said happen. Because he spoke it into existence. He spoke this world into existence. Psalm 33 will tell you that. His word, by the power of his word, he spoke it into existence. The word that said be opened here was the same word that spoke this world into existence. Is the same world that spoke into your heart when he said, live as you were dead in trespasses and in sins. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. The same word that said, be open, and his mouth was open, spoke to us at some point and gave us life. And he lived. Those that were called on to live, lived. The same voice called Lazarus out of the tomb. That same voice is going to be heard one day when he cries to all those that are in the grave. How there's going to be a resurrection of all those in the grave. He's going to cry, come forth, and they all are going to come forth. You know why? Because he has the power to do it. You know why? Because he cannot fail. You know why? Because he is good. He is the great physician. He's the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. He is the King of kings. and Lord of Lords. That's who we serve. That's who our Savior is. That's who we preach. That is who we're trusting in today. Fear not, little flock. Amen. It's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And he looked up into heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, that is, be opened. And get this, and straightway. You know how long it took? You know when the Lord comes again, it's going to be in a moment, right? In a twinkling of an eye. That ain't long. Ain't in a blink of an eye, it's a twinkle. How long does it take an eye to twinkle? I'm telling you here, straightway, upon the power of his voice, upon the power of his touch, upon the power of an almighty God, one who was the Son of Man, yes, our great example, but also the Son of God. He wasn't 50-50, he was 100-100. I'm telling you, we have a Savior that met our need in every way. And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. I'd love to have heard him speak. You know, I'll guarantee you could have kept him shut. He was telling it. Listen, he couldn't talk before, now I can talk. I couldn't hear before, now I can hear. And when a little child of grace has been touched spiritually, where they saw it, maybe they couldn't quite see it, or whether they wanted to talk about it and couldn't quite talk about it, and the Lord touches their ear and their eye and their heart, and they really see it, oh, they don't want to do anything else but talk about it. And unless we quench it, God forbid we quench it. And he says, and he charged them that they should tell no man. Wonder about this. Why we would on one occasion go home and tell your friends, and on another occasion he'd tell them to tell no man. Well, listen, the times have changed. This was a little different time. Now there are those who want to make him a king. Now there are those who want to come and make him some natural king. He wasn't coming here to be a natural king. He knew the minds of the congregation that was around him. And so for each particular incident, he had a particular instruction. And he charged them to tell no man. He didn't want to take any glory in the flesh or have glory given to man. It's the same way when the one asked him, when he called him a good master. Yeah. Good master. He said, why do you call me good? Yeah. It wasn't because he wasn't good. It's because he didn't see him as who he was. And there were those here. He said, you tell them, and they're going to try to make me a natural king. I'm not here to be a natural king. That's why he went away from them on many occasions. When he was in a situation where they were going to do that, he went away from that. That's why he went away so many times, because he knew it would not be beneficial to them. He said, to tell no man, and the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. He told them not to tell it, and they went and told it. That's the way human nature is. But I'll tell you what, the Lord has given us a message. He told us to publish it. If those who were told not to publish it couldn't help but publish it, how much more should us who've been told to publish it ought to want to publish it? How much more should we just be all about it? Listen, we have a blessing here. We have a blessing in the truth. We have a blessed Lord and a blessed Savior. And we can't open eyes or unstop ears or touch hearts, but we can tell them how great things the Lord had done for us. Verse 37, it says, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. Oh, isn't that the truth? As a matter of fact, it's kind of an understated truth. He didn't only do them well, he did them perfectly. He did them so good, so wonderful, so perfect, you can't add to it, nor can you take from it. And he says, he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I'll tell you, if you see the deaf hear, if you witness the deaf hearing and the dumb speaking, or any blessing that comes, remember where it comes from. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. May God be praised in glory. Glory given to him. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.